I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy went, of the kindness of Jesus that draws. My song, praising my Savior all the day long.
We've been working on our sermon series called I Love My Church, and each week we've been featuring a different aspect of the church. In week one, we talked about Jesus wants us to be a church that loves. He says, I give you a new commandment, love one another just as I have loved you. You see, Jesus always intended the church to be based on relationships. And this, first of all, begins with our relationship with Jesus, and then it continues in our relationships with one another, which are to be characterized by love. In week two, we talked about being a church that worships. And we learned the components of biblical worship that are so important. Worship must honor God. Worship is directed toward God, and worship requires the involvement of the worshiper. Jesus said we must worship in spirit and in truth, and so we worship Him together in this way. Last week we talked about being a church that fellowships. And while fellowship is not a word that is common in the vernacular of most people today, as we join hands and as we work together and serve together, we do life together. And that allows us to worship and have meals together, to play together, to serve together, and to grow together. And that brings us to today's message, which is called A Church That Serves. I'd like to introduce this message today by asking you a question. Have you ever been in a stage of life, or maybe when you've moved somewhere new, and you've had to find a new church? How many of you have ever been in that situation? So how do you do it? We know there's a lot of different ways to do it, but there's a new group that has found a way to help people find a new church. It's called Church Hunters.
Nick and Molly just moved to the city and can't agree on what they want. They are young and energetic and looking for a new church home. We'll take some personality tests, tour the sites, ask some questions, and based on taste, experience, and location, we'll find them the perfect congregation.
I'm Corey Clark, and welcome to Church Hunters.
We're so excited to find a church. We just started dating.
With the churches we go to now, just not, like, for us, just not really doing it for us, you know?
Right. I go to a satellite campus. I just find it hard to connect emotionally with a video screen. It's just...
Okay, you cry during Cake Boss. So, like, we've been doing a lot of services online, a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of preachers we do like.
Really good, but we want serious yet funny.
Yeah, like commanding of the stage yet relatable, you know?
We're more looking for the humor of Andy Stanley with the body of Stephen Furtick.
Hey guys.
What's happening?
I'm Corey.
Good to see you. My name's Nick. This is Molly.
Hey guys, welcome to Church Hunters.
This is your first church. This is Creekside First Baptist. So while it is traditional, it's still pretty current. Just this year, the pastor started untucking his shirts.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Big deal.
He does dress his age though, so don't worry. He's past the Osteen suit phase, but he hasn't gone full Giglio yet.
Okay, so there's holes in the knees or no?
Well, it's frayed, but no holes.
Frayed, no. Okay, got it. Yeah. Perfect. Okay.
So hey, let me show you around. Okay,
let's do it.
I do love this lobby.
It's a great lobby. You know, it's not too big, not too small. Yeah. Should be enough room to catch up, chat with your friends.
That's what you need.
But here's a great thing. There's a bunch of side exits, so if you need to leave early and catch the game, you can do that.
Got it. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Honestly, right up front, didn't love the name.
No. First Baptist? Who names a church that anymore?
Not these days. We're looking for like a Thrive Church, maybe Relevant Church, I don't know, Radiant Church, something.
This is the soundboard they use here. Okay. Now remember, it's pretty traditional here. So when Sunday comes around, they turn it way down low.
Got it, yeah.
But the one knock on this church, they still use the childcare numbering system on the screens.
Ooh, for the
Or as the moms like to call it, the sanctuary walk of shame.
The Sunday morning experience was just a little too traditional for us.
For us. I mean, the pastor's main point, 157 characters. I can't tweet that.
I really think you guys are going to love this place.
I like it.
We do. We like
feels
it.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, it's diverse, but it's not like too diverse, you know?
Scripture heavy sermons?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
What about, is it community oriented?
Absolutely.
Great.
Oh, women in ministry?
The parking situation, you guys gotta see it. Super rare nowadays. Come with me.
There's like a maybe for when my parents come into town for a church for Christmas. Easter type of church.
Like a holiday type church.
One of the main reasons that I love this church for you guys is that on your personality test, Molly, you scored high in service and hospitality.
Oh, babe.
And there's a great welcome team you could join.
Perfect.
Okay. And then Nick, you scored really high in need for accountability.
Wow.
And the men's groups here are amazing.
You're just going to put that out there?
Hey,
just
God
like
knows
that?
Your heart, okay?
On the next episode of Church Hunters.
I think you're really going to love this place. They take relevance to a whole new level. This church identifies as inter-non-denominational. This pastor speaks out of a brand new translation. It's the Tumblr Bible.
Well, I don't know if that church met your expectations or not. It didn't sound like it met theirs, but they got a few more churches to check out with Church Hunters. But I wonder, what should be the things that we look for when we're coming to a new church? Jesus has something interesting, I think, to say about this, and I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 812. We're going to be starting in verse 35 and reading through 45. And we're going to get a real insight to a couple of the disciples here, so let's check this out. Mark 10, starting in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. Well, what's your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. Now, Mark's telling of this tale is a little generous. He says, James and John came and asked. If you read Matthew, Matthew says, Mom got involved and asked. Verse 38, but Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. So here we see James and John, two of the brothers that were among the first disciples to follow Jesus, and they know Jesus' kingdom is coming, and they kind of want to get an inside corner on the right and left-hand seat. They want to be cozy. They want to be comfortable. They want to be recognized. They want to be part of the ones in charge. Pick it up in verse 41. When the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Do you think? So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Wow. Jesus nailed the ambition of James and John. They wanted to be important. They wanted to have all of the recognition that came with being Jesus' disciples. And Jesus said, guys, you've missed it. He said, that's the way of the world. And I'm sure if I asked you today if you've ever worked in a place where the boss liked to push you around, or if you have ever seen a politician that likes to push people around, we understand how things work in the business world, in the government. Somebody gets an authority and they just lord it over and flaunt their authority and boss you around. And Jesus says in the kingdom, it's not going to be that way. It's not about you and your wants and your needs and your preferences. He said, whoever wants to be a leader needs to be the servant. Whoever wants to be first needs to be the slave of everyone else. And then he gives the ultimate example by saying, you know, I didn't come to be served. If anybody could have come and deserved to be served, would have been Jesus. The beginning of the Gospel of John, we learned in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John continues to tell us that everything in creation was made through Jesus and for him. He could have demanded to be honored and worshiped. But he said, even I didn't come to be served, but to serve others and give my life. That's pretty amazing stuff. Now, the Greek word translated serve here means a very basic tending to the needs of others. The Greek word is diakoneo. It's where we get the English word deacon. And I want to show you some examples in the New Testament of how this word is used so you understand this is not a high position. This is not like on the right and left hand of Jesus. This is serving others with what could be considered menial tasks. Look at this in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for them. What was that word? That was the diakoneo, preparing a meal. Look at this in Luke 10, 38 to 40. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. That's the word, diakoneo. Martha came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? It was, again, preparing a meal. In Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, the first example of using this word diakoneo in the early church, it says this, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. What was the verb used here about running a food program? Diakoneo. It was about serving people. Jesus spent about 3.5 years with his disciples, and they still didn't get it. And on the night of the Passover meal, before he was betrayed, they sat down at a table to have the Passover meal. When they came in the door, nobody took care of the foot washing. So Jesus took up a towel and he went around to each of his disciples and he washed their feet. And when he got to Peter, Peter was appalled and said, Lord, you're not doing that to me. And Jesus said, well, if I don't do it to you, then you don't have any part in me. And then Peter said, then wash me all, Lord. But there was no servant among them to wash the feet coming in from the road. So Jesus did it for them. and they were shocked. After he was done, Jesus put on his robe again and he sat down and he asked them this question, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." So Jesus and the New Testament writers paint an entirely different picture of what it means to be a part of a church family. It's not about finding a church that meets my needs, as the people on Church Hunters were all about. But I want to ask you this question. Several of you raised your hand that you said you'd been in a position of having to look for a new church family, and we know Danielle and her family are going to be doing that soon after they move to the Carolinas. But let me ask you this question when you've been in that position. Have you ever searched for a new church family based on how you could best serve others? Did that even occur to you? Jesus says it's important that we shouldn't seek to be comfortable and have the best seats and have everything we like, because again, our time of worship together isn't about pleasing us. We talked about this in the second message of this series. Worship is about honoring God, not about honoring us. And our connection to a church family ought to be based with this in mind. How can we best serve others? Now, there may be some things about our church family that you really like, but we all must remember that we are here to serve others, not to be served. Now, the Apostle Peter wrote this amazing verse in 1 Peter 4:10. He says, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." So when you receive a gift through the Holy Spirit, a spiritual gift, it's not meant for you. It's meant for you to use in service to others in the church family. And when you are not using that gift, the church family is not as strong as it should be. Now, a few years ago, some of you might have read this best-selling book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. We talked about this a little bit back in our Nehemiah message on building your kingdom here, but look what he says. The Holy Spirit gives every believer spiritual gifts to be used in ministry. Your spiritual gifts were not given for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others, just as other people have been given gifts for your benefit. God planned it this way so that we would need each other. When we use our gifts together, we all benefit. If others don't use their gifts, you get cheated. If you don't use your gifts, they get cheated. This is why we're commanded to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. An unopened gift is worthless. God always equips us with what we need to serve. This custom combination of capabilities is called your SHAPE. And if you were here during our Build Your Kingdom Here series, you might remember the acronym SHAPE. S stands for your spiritual gifts. The H stands for your heart. What is it that you're passionate about doing? The A stands for your abilities. What are you gifted to do? P, what is your personality? What are the things that really get you charged up and get you excited? And E, what are your life experiences that have equipped you to serve? All of these things are important to consider. But then Rick says this, while knowing your shape for ministry is important to serving God, having the heart of a servant is even more important. Your shape reveals your ministry, but your servant's heart will reveal your maturity. No special talent or gift is required to stay after a meeting and pick up trash or stack chairs. Anyone can be a servant. All it requires is character. And then he wraps up by saying your primary ministry should be in the area of your shape. Your secondary ministry should be to serve wherever you're needed at the time. Now I want to give you another reason that it's important to serve, and it's going to begin in kind of an awkward way. It's going to begin with a little geography. You might recognize we have a map here of the Holy Land, and you'll notice inside the land there are two bodies of water. At the top we have the Sea of Galilee, and at the bottom we have the Dead Sea. These are two very different bodies of water. Let me explain. In the Sea of Galilee, we see a beautiful lake, 13 miles long and 7 miles wide, and it's teeming with fish and surrounded by thriving communities. It's a beautiful place. However, the Dead Sea, by contrast, it's a lifeless body of water, 50 miles long and 11 miles wide, and it's 13 feet below sea level. Now, the salt content of the water is about 33%, and I've never been there, but I've heard that people that swim in the Dead Sea, there's so much salinity, you float. But there are no plants, no fish, no other forms of visible life in or around the water. Think about that contrast. So both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are fed by the Jordan River, and you can see it right here, starting way up in the north and coming all the way down to here. There's only one difference that causes the Sea of Galilee to be beautiful and alive and the Dead Sea to be barren and lifeless. You see what it is? The Sea of Galilee has an outlet, but the Dead Sea does not. Water flows through the Sea of Galilee. Water flows into the Dead Sea, but not out. This makes it stagnant and dead, thus the name. Now I want you to think about this. Which of these bodies of water best describes your life? The Sea of Galilee or the Dead Sea? Here's what I mean by that. If you are merely receiving the blessings of God, but not giving and serving others by letting those blessings flow through you, you will become stagnant and lifeless, just like the Dead Sea. Now you might think, well, what can I do? Well, we talked about this again back in our Build Your Kingdom Here series. We have many ministries that you can be a part of. Children's ministry, worship team, women's fellowship, our care ministry, communion prep and greeting, and even the A-team where we take care of work that needs to be done around here. But you know, there is one way that we have been serving here in our community this last year that has been amazing. And we are very fortunate today to have the director of our LifeWise Academy, Kristen Cover, with us today. And she wanted to share a few words with you, so come on up here, Kristen.
Again, my name's Kristen. I'm so happy to be here this morning. If you don't know, I actually grew up in this church, so I feel very full circle when I came to LifeWise May-ish last year. You know, I talked to David, and he was so welcoming and asked me if I wanted to come toward the church so I could see where we were holding LifeWise. But, I mean, I told him I knew every hiding place in this church. Okay, I played hide and seek in the dark here so many times. But anyway, I'm, again, so glad to be the program director at LifeWise. I really just wanted to come here this morning to tell you guys thank you for serving this church. And you guys have been so amazing at being obedient to God in serving, because service is obedience. It's not always fun. It's not always easy. We're not always comfortable, but we need it. One way you guys have been serving is volunteers. Several people in this room have volunteered with LifeWise, which is great. We need it. We have third graders and we have fifth graders, and no kids that age, especially fifth graders, they can be a little wild. We have a lot of boys. Shocking to me, and it's really great. We started out this past year with just a small amount, 13, between those two grades together, and by the end, we literally doubled. I think in just the month of March alone, I mean, we have ended up with 16 fifth graders. We only started with 6. So it was a lot, so we needed more volunteers, which you guys just stepped up every week. So grateful for that. Another way you guys are serving and I'm grateful for is the use of the building. It may not seem like that's a lot, but it is. I mean, we need some place to hold LifeWise, and this is such a great location. The room, the Fellowship Hall is perfect for it. We have the bathroom, we have the kitchen, we have everything that we need available to us. So it's just, it's been great. And how many times am I going to say great up here? We're going to be grateful. My words are failing me. Public speaking is not my favorite. I'm more of the hospitality. Just thinking about that when David was talking, how I took a spiritual gift test a while ago. It was a long time ago. And when I got my results, it said hospitality. And I was like, wow, so exciting. Like, I want discernment or wisdom or, you know, something crazy, something amazing. But I love it. I love serving. I love serving alongside amazing people. And it makes it so much easier. So, again, I'm really grateful. Looking forward to the fall. We actually, at Hamersville, will be offering 4 grades in the fall. So our 3rd and 5th graders will get to move up. So we'll have 4th and 6th, and then we'll also keep 3rd and 5th. So 4 grades, which is exciting. And then even more exciting is we are planning on launching at Mount Orb in the fall as well. We have an amazing group of people from the First Baptist in Mount Orb, and they are ready to go. We were not prepared to start this fall there yet, but I mean, they already have a teacher, they have a location, they have people willing to volunteer. So I am scared, but also really excited for what's to come, and it will be a lot more work making it happen, right? I keep saying that, and it is true. I'm so glad this church is a kingdom mindset church, because not everybody in our community is willing to put forth the effort for us to all come together. I don't attend here. My family, we go to Free People in Mount Orb, and several of our volunteers go elsewhere to other churches, but we all know how important it is for us to come together to, you know, give these kids Jesus. We are serving Jesus every Wednesday, and it's great. They soak it in, they're sponges, and you would be amazed at what they remember. Okay, I don't remember week to week sometimes what we talk about, but they answer the questions, they listen to the details, and it's truly fascinating that they are just such great little sponges. But, and they have also been inviting their friends. So they are discipling. They are being evangelical already. So it's really been amazing. So thank you, the Universal Church of Christ, for serving alongside me and the other volunteers of life.
Thank you. So 2 new grades next year means we're going to need more volunteers. As Kristen said, they're not all going to come from our church, but if you're available Wednesdays in the daytime, want to step up your serve, that would be a great way to do it. And you know, I'm so glad that we've been able to be a part of this, because for years I've watched a lot of children and families be taken out of worship on Sunday mornings because of sports programs. And this is our opportunity to bring the kids off school property to be able to teach them Bible lessons, and it will change lives and be a great outreach in our community. Many of you may remember one of our presidents giving an amazing speech when he challenged a nation with this thought: "My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you." Can you finish it? Ask what you can do for your country. So I'm going to do a little tweak on what JFK said, and my challenge for you is this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, ask not what the Lord and your church family can do to serve you. Ask what you can do to serve the Lord and your church family. Now, there are many people here who have already found a place to serve in the church family, and I just want to say thank you. You're doing what God wants you to do to help serve others. But if you're here today and you haven't found that place, and you'd like more information about some of the service opportunities I've talked about today, especially LifeWise, talk to me after the service, and we'll get you connected and make that happen. The other thing I want to tell you is, if you see something that needs to be done around here and nobody's doing it, that may be the Holy Spirit prompting you to use your gifts and abilities to serve others in the church family. Listen to Him. Act on what He says. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word today, and we thank You for this account from James and John and their interaction with Jesus, and helping us understand that we shouldn't hunt for a church based on things that we like, maybe we should be looking for places where we can serve. How can we best use the gifts and abilities you've given us effectively in your kingdom? And God, I thank you for many of the ministries that happen in this church family that care for people and help with our worship services and our Bible study groups. But I just want to say a special thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through LifeWise Academy that's reaching into the schools and bringing kids here so that they can learn your word. Thank you for Kristen and her leadership as our program director. Thank you for the many that volunteer to serve. And we pray, Father, that that will awaken in our young people today not only the knowledge of who Jesus is, but a desire to follow him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
If I told you my story, you would hear hope. If I told you my story, you would hear love, but never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy went, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.